Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
In the church, out of the church. And let me say this about the out of the church crowd. We cannot expect the out-of-church crowd, when I say out-of-church, the out-of-the-body, to have any spiritual discernment about the season and the times that we live in. Amen? And we have, many times, we wonder why, you know, just use a couple of issues, why the world embraces abortion. I mean, they're trying to redefine a baby. When you know that's a baby, you can call it what you want, but you know that's a baby. Let's not play games with this. But we can't expect the world to discern what the enemy is up to. But the bad thing is that the church is not even able to discern, in many cases, what the world is up to or what the enemy is up to. So we have to learn to teach people how to fight the good fight of faith without trying to fight people. See, we always want to picket and fight. And again, I'm not saying picketing is wrong. That's not the point. But the fight is not with people. The fight is with the spirit behind the people. And so we have to learn to begin. And I know people always say, well, we got to pray. And then they don't really believe prayer works. So they got to go say, well, we're going to pray and then we're going to do something. You see, when you pray, you're supposed to get some instruction. You don't just pray and then go do what you wanted to do in the first place because all you did was delay it. You're supposed to pray and hear from God on what to do. Just like Pastor was saying this morning, God, what do we need to do to reach this community? Now, we can knock on doors. We can send out flyers. That's all maybe what God says. But let's hear what he's telling us to do so that when we do it, we see the results of it. And you might, and you have to say it this way. You may not see the results right away because just like you have delayed sin degeneration, you have delayed righteousness increase. Amen? Let me read a scripture that I was going to read last night, but I didn't get to it because I didn't want to preach long last night. But let's go to John chapter 23, verse 26. Chapter 12, verse 23 through 26. Sorry. And let's pray before we read. Father, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. That's why we come to church. We don't come to church because we want to hear a good song. We don't come to church because it's our religious duty. We don't come to church because it's a fun thing. We come to church to hear what your spirit is saying to us. So, Lord, I pray that you would first give me the words to say and then give us the ears to hear what you're saying to us in this hour and at this season. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, yes. Amen. And the scripture says, but Jesus answered them saying, well, let's go up a little bit. And get the full context. It says, let's go to verse 20. It says, now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, sir, we wish to see Jesus. So they came for the right reason. They came to see Jesus. Amen. But some people only wanted to see Jesus because they heard about what he was doing, not just because of who he was. because they weren't sure about who he was, but they heard about what he was doing. And so Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew turned and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. And this is what Jesus responds, and this is one of those, responses. And Jesus says, but Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now, you would have to wonder, those guys who came to see him, if they heard that response, they're like, I don't get it. I don't get that. But when you know who Jesus is, then you get it. But if you just came to spectate, you don't get it. And we have to stop being spectators and see that we have to give our life for this thing. Meaning that we have to give up everything that we think is valuable, dear, worthy, worth our time, talent, and everything else to the Lord so that he can give us an increase. He says, unless the kernel of wheat or a grain of wheat dies, a kernel in the old King James, it bears, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Now, that's so contrary to the world because we try to get what we can in our own strength. But he's saying we have to surrender in order to be increased. So part of what God is saying during this season is we have to surrender, submit to him to get the increase that he wants to give us. What does that mean? That means don't trust your own instincts. Don't trust, don't lean on your own understanding. But go back and find and say, okay, Lord, I know what I could do, but is that what I should do? Amen? And we have to begin to do what God wants us to do so that we can get what he wants us to get. And we receive what he wants us to receive. And then, of course, he says that he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And, of course, he's not talking about hate, self-hate, because, you know, folks read the Bible, and they get all kinds of crazy ideas, man. I mean, you know, people have tried to use the Bible to justify suicide. Because, well, I'm supposed to hate my own life, or I'm supposed to, you know, pluck my eye out and self-mutilate myself because I can't control my lust. He's using hyperbole to make a point, not to give you instruction on what to do. Now we don't need to pluck out our eyes. Our eye, the eye he's talking about is the eye of lust that you can pluck out. In other words, allow the Holy Spirit to remove from you, not take a pin and gouge your eye out. Because that doesn't take lust out. Amen? You can lust and you can be blind. You don't have to. You lust doesn't know any vision. Lust is lust. You can be blind, deaf, and still have lust. Because lust is a desire that's stronger than it should be. A misplaced desire. So you don't have to see that to have that. But Jesus is trying to teach us that surrender is the key to what you want in him. Yes. And see, surrender is not popular. Surrender is not easy. Surrender costs you something. And we have to pay the price to surrender. That's what fasting is all about, surrendering a meal to God so that he can direct your path. Surrender to the Holy Spirit so that he can lead and guide us. People don't want to be led by the Spirit. Did you know that? I know that sounds funny, but people truly don't want the Holy Spirit to lead them. They want to figure it out on their own. That's why we have such a riff in the church world about the Holy Spirit. You know, one group, I got to lean on the Holy Spirit. Another group says, well, the Spirit directs you by the Word. And both of those are true, but they don't exclude one another. Amen? So in other words, when the Scriptures tell you to refrain from adultery, the Spirit will lead you away from adultery. See how they work together? When the Spirit says, don't lie, the Scripture says, don't bear false testimony or don't lie, the Holy Spirit will tell you, don't say that. That's how they work together. But most of us want to fight about this Holy Spirit because we don't understand it, because we're not supposed to understand it. He's supposed to give us the understanding. See, we battle for natural understanding when all we're supposed to do is trust the Spirit of God to lead us, to give us understanding. And so we have to learn to surrender to the Lord God Almighty. Our walk is a walk of surrender. Think about when we got saved. What did you do when you got saved? What's the sinner's prayer? Lord, forgive me for all the sins I've committed. I'm sorry for my life. I pray that you would wash me with your precious blood. Put me into your family. Come and live your lives. Come into my heart and live your life through me. I surrender to you. That's what repentance is all about. Turning from one direction and going in another direction. So then why, after you repent, you then think that it's okay for you to just continue to do what you were just doing? Now, why would you repent then? What's the purpose of repentance? Everybody tell me. Somebody tell me. Turn away from what you're doing. So then why would somebody in the church come around and tell you, no, you don't have to stop doing that because God has already forgiven you for that? Then why am I repenting? But see, that's the whole point. If you believe that, then you won't repent anymore. And you'll just continue doing what you're doing. Now, all the truths of the Scripture, the grace and repentance, faithfulness, all those are truths, but they work together, not separately. In other words, you don't take grace and then do what you want to do. You don't take faithfulness and exclude grace. You don't take being led by the Spirit, exclude faithfulness and grace. They all work together. Amen? So the grace of God, which comes through Jesus, comes through the birth of the Savior that we're celebrating this time of year, must be received, and our life is a grace life. But we still have to acknowledge that we're still fighting a sin. We're still living in a sin-stained body. What do I mean by that? That means that we have the imprint of sin in us that has to be purged so that we don't follow its instincts anymore. Amen? In other words, now we have, see, when you're unsaved, you don't have the ability. You know, remember the Just Say No campaign? I think it was Nancy Reagan. Just say no to drugs. But see, without the power of God, you really don't have the ability to just say no. Because no, the drugs don't answer no. It just yells louder. It says, oh, you said no this time. Well, what about the next time? No, okay, keep saying no until you get pushed in a corner. And what about now? Okay. And that's the way we lived when we were in our lusts. But once the Spirit comes to bring new life and we become born again, now when we say no, we not only mean no, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to make no come to pass. Amen? So now we're no longer bound by those things. Just like Jesus said, the enemy has come and he has nothing in me. That's what he wants us to be. When the enemy comes, there's nothing for him to latch on to. That's what that meant. There was nothing he could do to Jesus to keep him from what he was supposed to do. And we have to get to that place that there's nothing that the enemy can throw our way that'll cause us to turn away from the Lord. Not death, not financial ruin, not marital ruin, what you name it, pick the tragedy. There's nothing, as the scriptures say, that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. But sometimes you wonder how many Christians are committed to that extent. I mean, we have trouble getting folks to just come to church once a week now. What would happen if they outlawed church attendance? Huh? What if they said, we're going to pass a law that you could only go to church twice a month? Most Christians would say, shoot, I don't go more than twice a month anyway, so you got nothing to worry about. But what, first we would, we would be upset, we would be outraged, but would you do it? I would go to church just like Daniel. I would go to church as much as this door is open, I would be here. You might say, well, you're the pastor. I would go to church if I wasn't the pastor. Why? Because Peter and John said it, I have to obey God rather than men. And how many are willing to go to jail for what you believe? How many of us are willing to sacrifice popularity for what we believe? You might say, what kind of Christmas message is this? Jesus came to be a sacrifice. He did not come just to bring gifts and a green tree and nice lights. He came to give his life. The three gifts he was given at his birth, gold, which we all need, frankincense, which meant he was going to be a priest, but myrrh was what they embalmed you with. Now, what kind of a gift would you give a baby? I mean, could this like going to a baby shower and bringing them embalming fluid? Yeah, we would all look at you as, what in the world are you? Are you trying to tell me my baby's going to be born dead? No, but Jesus came to die. He didn't just come to have fun and laugh. And I know he did all that, but that's not why he came. So we didn't get saved just for a good time in the building, just to jump and shout and praise God. Thank him. God is so faithful to us. He gives us over and above what we deserve. But we're still here to surrender our lives to his will. It's the sacrifice of salvation. And that's the price we pay for Christmas. That's what we receive at Christmas time. That's why I love Christmas, because it's bigger than just trees. You know, people want to argue, well, should you say Merry Christmas or Happy Holiday? Look, man, what's holiday mean? Okay, so then ain't no sweat off my brow if they say have a happy holy day. You know what I'm saying? But we want to argue, oh, no, you're taking the cake. And then they say, well, no Xmas. X stood for Christ in the first century. So they can't take him out of it, is what I'm trying to say. You can't get rid of God in the thing that he created. He's got to stay, because it won't work if he doesn't. Amen? No matter what the world tries to erase, you can't erase the eternal King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You can't erase him. He's unerasable, if that is a word. That's why I love Christmas time, because we rejoice in the fact that Jesus has come. And I rejoice that he came to a hard-head, stubborn, arrogant 18-year-old who didn't really know his way and saved me. Amen? Yeah. you know, I wasn't a good sinner, meaning that I didn't do enough sin, but I had enough sin, just enough to send me to hell. Amen. I never smoked a joint, never got high, never slept around, never did anything. But I had lied, cheated, stole, and done enough stuff to get me to go to hell. But more than anything, I was proud. And Bible says that he resists the proud. Resists me. I was not irresistible to God. But I was, because he loved me. Amen. And he brought me in to his family. And when I got saved, I said, Lord, this is not a part-time thing. I'm giving this, because I had seen some of my friends get saved. You know, the friends we go to school with, they get saved, and then 6 months later, they're doing what they were doing, only more so. You remember those guys or girls? You know, they get saved, and they were on fire. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, brother. Got their Bible in their hands, and 6 months later, you see them and say, hey, man, what happened? Oh, man, you know. Something so and so this happened and so on. I don't know if God's still with me anymore. And I said, God, I don't want to be like that. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it all. Good or bad, rain or shine, I'm going to stay with this. And that's what I chose to do. That's the faithfulness that we're required to give from his great gift that he gave. Amen? And it's because of that faithfulness, we are allowed to touch people. We have been allowed to be a light to people, not just because of us, because it's not about me. It's about what God has done in me. That's all it's about. I understand that I understood, because when I first started reading the Bible, you guys remember these days? The Bible was like a jigsaw puzzle. With a whole bunch of pieces missing. I mean, you remember first reading the Bible and being just plain confused? And I'm thinking, I said, Lord, I thought this was supposed to help me. I'm confused. So I know that the fact that I can understand the Word of God is a miracle. Yes. Because I could not understand the Word when I first got saved. Why? Because I was so carnally minded, my mind was in the way. You get that? My mind was in the way. And that's what's wrong with the world. They don't believe the word because their mind is in the way. And they won't allow the Spirit to speak to their heart to renew their mind so they can understand the word. People still debating, why did God destroy the world with water? Why? That seems so cruel. Well, if you had read the scripture, he said, because the world was filled with violence. And had he not done what he did, the world would not have lasted. It's just that simple. But I don't think I would have done that. That's because your mind is in the way. And you don't see what God sees. And we don't see what God sees. I mean, why would God send Jesus to be born in a stable? Because you didn't see the gift of God. And the world didn't see. I talked about this. The world needed a Savior, but they didn't want a Savior. And so he was relegated to a barn. But that didn't stop God's plan from carrying out. Because most people would have said, oh man, he was born in a barn. What could he do? What good could he do? The people didn't even want him. But the angels knew. They announced his birth. The star announced his coming. So God said, I don't care where he's born, he's going to do what he's sent here to do. And that's what we have to understand. It doesn't matter where we come from. If we get in him, we're going to do what he sends us to do. Amen. No weapon is going to stop us from doing what he sent us here to do. Nobody is going to keep this church down from doing what God has called us to do. Why? Because it can't prosper against what God has called us to do. If we're in the will of God, there's nothing the enemy can do to stop it. He can kill everybody out in the church, and the church will replenish and keep going. And that's what has happened for the last 2,000 years. So we have to be encouraged. Everybody say encouraged. Encouraged that opposition won't defeat us. Amen? Yeah. We're undefeatable. Again, not a word, but I like it. We can't be beaten. You know, we always watch sport teams. And there hadn't been an undefeated football team since 1973. Every year, the Miami Dolphins celebrate their undefeated season because ain't no team can stay undefeated. Huh? Well, yeah, but they didn't make it. Miami won the Super Bowl undefeated. But you're right, they beat the number of wins because back then you only played 17 games, including the Super Bowl, and I think the Patriots had won 18 games until they got to the Super Bowl. And we're talking about being undefeated in sports, but Jesus is undefeated. He beat the devil. Every time the devil showed up, he slapped him with the Holy Ghost in the face with the word. Let him know, you can't beat me, man. What are you thinking? You didn't beat me when you were in heaven, and you sure not going to beat me while I'm on the earth. I'm undefeated. And then not only that, he says, because I win, you win. Us, meaning us. We win. Amen. And we have to act like winners. When things don't go right, don't get sad. I know we have temporarily, we try to figure, okay, God, why did this happen? You know, we all have those moments. Come on now. Even me. I know sometimes people think pastors don't think these things. Come on now. What do you think? I'm Superman up here? I mean, I have the same problems. People do the same stupid things to me as they do to you. Sometimes just more expensive. And I say, God, why did that happen? Sometimes I ask him, why did he let it happen? But then I catch myself. I say, okay, Lord, I'm way too old to be still saying that. Help me to get over this thing. That's what I want to do. Forget what happened, because I can't change that. But help me get over it so that I know how to respond right and live right in the midst of it. And one of the things that when people, especially, and I'm going to say this and then I'm going to close. When people do you wrong, our reaction is not, Lord, I hate that person. God is trying to teach you to pray for that person. That's the hardest thing to do when somebody face to face wanted to do you wrong and wanted to take you out. And then you turn around and pray for them. And you don't necessarily pray for them right face to face because you got to wrestle with it at home. I don't want to pray for them, Lord. You saw what they did. And like God wasn't watching. Did you see what they did to me? They took this. They took that. They stole this. They lied on me over there. They tried to make me look bad in front of that person. God, did you see what they did to me? And after all that, and he says, just pray for them. And so how do you pray for them? You say, Lord, I pray that they come to know you as their Savior. And that you would change their heart as a result of them coming to know you. Because that's the problem, right? That's why they wanted to hurt you, because their heart's not right. So we have to pray for those that try to abuse us, misuse us, mistreat us, lie on us, slander us, steal from us. I'm still fighting a battle. I've been fighting, like Pastor said, on battle for 2 or 3 years now. And they're trying to make me pay a bill that is my client's bill. It's a long story, but the bottom line is they sent me a thing, we want $20,000. I said, you're not getting it from me. But I have to fight that battle. And I'm doing everything I can not to get mad at the people who caused the trouble. So that's why I'm saying I go through the same battles as you guys. I just stand up in a higher step. So we have to remember that Jesus is undefeated and I can trust him. And if I do have to end up paying it, guess what? He's going to provide for it. Amen. So I don't lose. I can't lose. It's just I got to keep my attitude right. And that's one thing about Christmas that we should do, is to keep our attitudes right, because Jesus has now changed the course of life. And now we're on the right course. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. I just want to offer, I know everybody's saved, knows Jesus.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.